Good morning. This is Pastor Todd. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. This week, I am sharing a message for the church. I trust the Lord uses it to encourage and build you up. And here is this week's message.
This will probably be a fairly brief message. And if you notice, no notes. I've ascended to the next level. No. What we're doing today is we're doing a year in review of a lot of the ministries in 2021. So I'm just going to run by the PowerPoint. And so what I've gathered together in these is the information that people have run the Bible studies have either gotten to me or they weren't able to get to me, and I had to kind of fill in the blanks as best I knew. So if you guys are part of a ministry and there's something missing, I apologize. I've tried to get the word out, tried to get the feedback, and this is the best I can do with what I've got. Just being honest and transparent. And so hopefully it's informative enough for you guys to get a vision that God has still done stuff at the Gathering Place in 2020 despite the COVID shutdown. Because you know what? God is not stopped by plagues, and he's not stopped by politics. Oh, I need this because of the safety thing. Because of the COVID, right? Yeah, okay. So he's not stopped by the politics. I know this was election year. The economy shut down. The pandemic hit. And everybody's opinion is all over the map on that. So I'm not going to give commentary on that. All right? Because we want to know what God's doing. Right? Not what man's doing. Not what man's opinion is. What God is doing. Because he's not going to let difficult times get in his way of advancing the kingdom. So I'm going to do a quick prayer and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you are sovereign, Father, that you are a great God and nothing can stop you. Lord, there is no power on earth and no force in hell that can hold back your will. Nothing can hold back your message and your love. You even told your disciples that the gates of hell, or the gates of death, depending on your translation, cannot withstand the force of heaven. We thank you for that, God. We thank you that you have reached down and called every one of us to be children of the living God, to be forgiven under the blood of your Son, and to be given new life aimed at eternity. We thank you for that. We give the praise, the glory, and the honor. And so now, Lord, I pray that you give me clarity of thought, conciseness of speech, as we look at what you have done through the Gathering Place to meet people's needs, to keep us gathered together as an assembly of saints, in the midst of all of this crazy stuff that's been going on in 2020. Lord, let your heart go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So 2020, the year of pandemic, politics, and powerful God. You know, one of the things, if you ever read like old mythologies and stuff, one of the things that you see is like the power, the ability of the hero can only be shown by the magnitude of his adversity, right? So the bigger the adversity that a hero faces and overcomes, the greater you see that hero. And when we look at the gospel, when we look at scripture, when we look at the redemption narrative, Jesus is the hero. And he's overcome every obstacle. And he's overcome every hurdle. You know, if you look at Philippians, you see that Jesus stripped down all of his powers of glory when he walked on earth as a human being, limited to a physical location, and he still overcame. We have a powerful God. We have a powerful Jesus who's able to overcome any obstacle. And the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that lives inside of us. This was a powerful oppositional year for a lot of people. And we've all felt the effects of it. And that means God can be proven to be more powerful than that. And so that's why politics, pandemic, powerful God. All right? So we're going to get started with a year review for 2020 at the Gathering Place. What's our next one, Twyla? What's been happening? First up, the ministry team. So Jonathan has been heading up the ministry team for a number of years. It's been less active, right? We've kind of had to like go on like minimal like in-person operational stuff. However, even though Jonathan's been more absent and has had increased limited abilities, we were still able to hold at least one training for the ministry team. What else we have here is, go ahead, Twyla. After COVID hit, our ministry team, we stopped having weekly assignments for people come up here, right? Because we want to keep the social distancing as well as we could. So as we, especially at the beginning of the year, we're still trying to figure out, now we know a little bit more, but we've been trying to figure that out. So we haven't assigned weekly ministers at the front of the church. But you can move on to the next one, Twyla. We have had the team keep a heart to bless others. We've encouraged them to prophesy to people in our church. So you might not be able to come up here and get prayer with four or five people gathered around you. You can go and find one of the prayer ministers and get prayer. And a lot of them have been going out of their way to be seeking the Lord for words to bless and encourage people so that they can go up unprompted, you know, and go give words to people. So the ministry team's still been active. It's taken a slightly different form. It has not stopped. It looks different, but coming together in the name of Jesus for prayer has still been happening here at the church. I believe we've still been using anointing oil from time to time. We even have a vial back there because that is one of the key things in Scripture. When James says, if any of you is sick, you know, call the elders to come and pray. And the elders have given authority to the ministry team to help carry out that task. So that's the ministry team. What else do we have, Twyla? Fellowship. So Nancy's kind of been a forefront in a lot of the fellowship this year. So I tried to get pictures to correlate. I thought I had Jonathan's up there at the beginning, but I didn't see it. But so Nancy's been seeing fellowship. What's been happening with the fellowship? Well, we've had some baby showers. So that's kind of an awesome thing. Anytime new life comes into the world, it's absolutely worth celebrating, even in the midst of a pandemic, because life will continue, because we have a God who is a living God, and he's the God of life. He's not the God of death, right? He's a living God. So we've had several baby showers. We even had a Thanksgiving meal, if you guys remember. We came in, we had a wonderful Thanksgiving meal. We had a Christmas party, and we had cookouts. Now, some people might think, well, this is absolutely crazy. Why would we be doing this in the middle of a pandemic? Because fellowship is important. It's important for the church. It's important for human interaction. And we've used the best precautions and the best wisdom to maintain safety in that. And so we can flip over to the next slide here. We've always valued fellowship at the Gathering Place. It's always been a high priority. I mean, like, think about it. Whenever church is over, how many of you are here until like 1 o'clock just hanging out, right? Like, I think most of you end up leaving because you're just so hungry, you got to go get something to eat, or else you just kind of keep hanging out. Because that's a high value we have in the church is fellowship, as being in each other's presence, enjoying each other's company. It's a huge value for the church. So, as a means to try to do that in the midst of all this crazy pandemic stuff, we've catered several of the events. We've hired food out to be prepared professionally, catered with social distancing, to minimize the food handling, but still create an avenue for fellowship. So, I mean, like, so, yeah, Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas party, all that stuff, we're doing it in the safest way to still allow some degree of in-person fellowship, because because that's a huge priority, is getting together in the name of Jesus. Then we have Wednesday nights. We got Byron and Nancy. They hold every other Wednesday. Got to get my words straight. They have these Wednesday night things, and it started out being totally unstructured. Just come together, see what the Holy Spirit does, and as things began to unfold, it became a little bit more clear that they needed to have a little bit of structure. So I think they're going through a couple of like Christian books right now, right? Is that right? So they're going through a little bit of a structured thing, but still open to some fellowship and stuff. So they're meeting two Wednesdays a month. Now during the beginning of this whole COVID thing, it was only on Zoom. So everybody pop in on Zoom and have these conversations. Now it's kind of gotten back to in-person and Zoom. So people aren't comfortable kind of getting together. They can pipe in on Zoom, still keep the social distancing, and still be part of the conversation, still be part of the fellowship. So that's going on now. What else do we have, Twyla? We've noticed that some previous Wednesday nighters, hold on just a second. When that door is open, there's an echo that bounces back and forth. So some previous Wednesday nighters, for back when we were a young adults group way back in the day, have actually rediscovered Wednesday nights at the Barclays here at the church. And so they've actually been coming, and it's kind of been a fruitful venture of them kind of coming back in after being disassociated for a while. And yet, in the midst of all of that, there's a continuation to seek God for engaging believers in every stage of life. We're all in different areas, and the idea behind this Wednesday night right now is to see where people are and engage them with the presence of God in that. We believe here at the Gathering Place that one of the things that God is in the business of doing is meeting us where we are. Meeting us where we are in the pandemic, meeting us where we are in our spiritual life, in our emotional journey. Like, if I'm not a believer, God's in the business of meeting me where I'm at and leading me to Himself. If I'm a believer, He's in the business of meeting me in my understanding of Scripture and drawing me further into a deeper knowledge of Him, right? He meets me on an emotional level. He meets me on an intellectual level. He meets us where we are and pulls us close to Himself in a deeper relationship. And the heart of Wednesday night is to seek God's heart on that and meet people where they are in that journey, to draw them closer to the Lord. No matter where they're at, say, okay, you're here, let's draw you in closer to God. That's the heart of Wednesday night. Okay, what else do we have? Now, Nancy and Kara have kind of been spearheading the children's ministry. This year has been crazy for children's ministry, you know. So we had the children's ministry, got it going. We got the room set up. Last year, a friend and I was just sharing this with Helen. We built that half wall, and we put that half wall like into the foundation. So this whole building could crumble, and that wall's still going to be there, the way we built it. but we built that as a safety mechanism to prepare for a children's ministry. And so now we've got a children's ministry, and Nancy and Kara have done a phenomenal job in kind of putting this together, getting the gears working in this. So here's some stuff from the children's ministry. Currently we have Geraldine and her husband Elder dedicated to doing the child care work for the ages of 1 to 5. So any given Sunday, Geraldine and Elder is going to be in there taking care of the kids. And we also have parents that volunteer on a rotational basis. So, you know, there's 3 adults in there at any given time. And we have policies and procedures in place for people with kids, like what do we do with, changing diapers, bathroom runs, and things like that. So we have all of this set in place, and they have also put together a Bible curriculum to be in use to keep the children engaged. So they're not just babysitting over there. There is a scripture-centered curriculum that they work through. So they are getting exposure to the gospel in a way that kids are going to relate to, because, you know, you can't just go to the kids and start talking about transubstantiation. You know, it's, you got to meet them where they're at, right? Children's ministry is just like that. God's in the business of meeting people where they are, whether they're 70 years old or whether they're 7 months old, right? God's in the business of meeting people where they're at. The children's ministry is dedicated to that, and we have Christ-centered biblical curriculum to kind of help that out. What else we have? We have the nursery committee developing. So this is going to be a committee. Hey, Juan, can you close that door, please? The echo's kicking back in. The nursery committee is developing to assess toys, you know, because we've got toys from the 1980s in there, which they're kind of fun, and they're kind of dated. You know, we've got Farmer John tractors from like 1977 in there that probably have lead paint on them. So they're doing an assessment, right, to what's safe, what kind of new toys do we need to replace the old ones, so on and so forth. Also looking at cleanliness procedures. How do we do the cleaning procedures now with the COVID germs? And you know, kids are just germ factories anyway. So how do we keep that clean? How do we keep that safe to the best of our abilities? And then looking at the next step. So we're not just trying to meet the needs now. We're also thinking, okay, Lord, next step, future. What should we be anticipating and how should we be developing that? And the next step is putting something together and creating a space for kids over the age of 5, right? I mean, like we have an age range that goes all the way up into the early teens. So next step is developing types of ministries for the older kids in our church. So that's something that they're turning their eyes to now. Like at first we're like, okay, we need a children's ministry. At first, we didn't have a building, so we need a building that has a place for kids. Boom, God gives us this building. We have a place for kids. And then a bunch of kids show up, and now what do? We build a wall. Trump said build a wall. We built a wall. And so now we have a wall to maintain the kids in the children's church. And so we've got a ministry going together for kids up to the age of 5. Next step, above the age of 5. So we're looking towards that, you know, and when we put our focus on that, we say, all right, Lord, where's your heart in that? We see his provision come, right? We got the building. We got the children's room. We got the kids. Next step, older kids. He's going to bring the provision. He's been faithful for the length of this church, and he's going to continue to be faithful. The leaders really need to keep a pulse on what the Lord's heart is and how to go about doing this. So next up, missionaries. Kara's been the one that's in charge of gathering details from the missionaries and coming up once a month and presenting some of the rundowns of what our missionaries are doing. And a lot of them, and we'll get into this, you know, COVID kind of shut down a lot of their ministry. But Kara's the one that's been given the reports, has been doing the prayers, she's been in contact with it. And so 2020, we've continued on that vein. But here's some things about the missionaries. We've done regular updates. Several of our missionaries have been furloughed, which means they've kind of been put on administrative leave because of COVID. You know, Rachel and her husband, James? James. Sorry, Rachel, if you're listening in on this, I apologize. They were just here last week, like a surprise visit. They've kind of been on furloughed from their missionary country. Sometimes we try to keep that a little bit secret because this is online and anybody can access it. So they're on furlough until they're able to get back into to their missionary country and start doing the work of the ministry again.
They are moving next in a few weeks.
Oh, okay, they're going back in a few weeks. That's a wonderful update. Thank you, Byron. So a lot have been on furlough. They're getting ready to get back into the field as soon as they're allowed to. And now, actually that should be 2021, coming into this next year, Kara is asking for some assistance to keep up with the updates. So if you guys have a heart for kind of helping out in terms of getting updates from the missionaries, talk to Kara because she would really appreciate it, especially this January to May timeframe because she's an accountant at a huge accounting firm and she's doing like 80 to sometimes 90 hours a week working. I mean, just bam, 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 like, she'll go to work, she'll be in there for several hours, take her laptop, go home, and then be on it into the night. I mean, like, not really a lot of time to do a lot of ministry, not really a lot of time to kind of keep up on things. So she could really, really use some help. And so if you've got an inkling to be a part of that, please talk to Kara and get help take some of that load off of her so that the church can continue getting our missionary updates and continue to bless the church, you know, with all that information and continue to bless the missionaries by staying in touch, keeping that relational connection going on. So that's the missionary stuff. What else do we have? The Tuesday Bible studies and prayer. So you know that the Bible studies and the prayer, they alternate. So you're like one Tuesday you'll have Bible study, next Tuesday you'll have prayer. You know, Bible study and you'll have prayer. That was not a random decision. There's an overarching theme with this, and I just chatted with Jerry about it, that the whole premise is this this watch and pray movement, I guess you call it a movement, this watch and pray for the Lord, right? So watching kind of deals with looking at what's going on in society and also looking at what the scriptures say. So there's a Bible study tied into this. And then praying. So you're looking at the scriptures, you're seeing what the Lord's doing, you're looking at life out the window, and you're seeing what's going on, and then you're praying into what the Lord's heart is, right? So there's this watch and pray component that's involved with this. So this is all part of one type of ministry, and there's two components that kind of interchange on the Tuesdays. So like I said, it's not random. So in 2020, I know they finished up a study on the end times in Isaiah, and they've gone over the Bride of Christ scriptures, and I think they're currently going through the Return of Jesus scriptures.
Revelation and Signs of the Times.
So that's the Bible study part. And then on the Tuesdays, they will pray into a lot of those themes for the Gathering Place specifically, for the Chicagoland region, and for the nation as a whole. And I think every once in a while you might throw Israel in there too, right? Because that kind of tends to go with the flow. So prayer meetings are focused on God's heart for the Gathering Place, Chicagoland, the nation. And for this year, prayer for the elections. This has been a crazy year for elections. And that's political. I'm not going to get political just because this is what God's doing right now. But we are seeing the hand of God moving in the realms of government. And a lot of stuff we're seeing is not pretty. You know what? Whenever you're refining silver, the ugly comes to the top so it can be scraped off and purified.
Amen.
Right? So God's doing a work, even though we're not liking what we're seeing. But the prayer ministry has been focused on this on the Tuesday nights to see what God's going to do, like in his church, right, and in the nation, which is an amazing thing. So if you haven't been a part of that and you didn't know that and you want to be a part, please get in there, get into those studies, get praying, because as the saints come together, you know, Peter says it says judgment, but it's basically purification is going to happen in the house of God first, and then it's going to hit the nations. If we're rounding into the end times, there's a purifying process that's going to happen in the church, and that's going to, in large part, in my opinion, is going to be started, initiated by those in prayer. By those in prayer. Because once that starts rocking, then God's going to hit this purification process and it's going to wave through the church, it's going to be purified, and that's going to spill over into our societies. Okay? So if that's something you have a heart for, get into these Tuesday night meetings and be a part of it. Okay? What else do we have coming up here? Pete's Bible study. I didn't have a picture of Pete, so I had to do a generic Bible study from, you know, Google search. So Pete's Bible study, it meets two Wednesdays a month, and Pete hosts this Bible study at his house in Beach Park. So you're more than welcome to go to Beach Park, especially if you live in that area. I know that, like, the Gathering Place is like this hub of people that live 30 minutes away. It's like this geographical anomaly. How far is the Gathering Place from your house? Well, 30 minutes. So, Beach Park, Waukegan, Antioch, right? Round Lake Beach. I think Cal and the Barclays live the closest, so they're like 10 minutes down the road. But we've had people from Lake Zurich that would commute up. I mean, like, it's all over, right? So, Pete's up in the Wisconsin. Waukegan Beach Park area has this Bible study, but if that's on the other side of the universe to you, Zoom. He does it on Zoom too, so you can be part of this Bible study on Zoom. And one of the things about Pete's Bible study is it's not exclusively TGP members. Like, there are non-TGP people that come to Pete's Bible study. Some people who have been saved but don't really know the scriptures that well. Some are from TGP. Some have been Christians for a while. It's a nice diversity of people that you can get together. I used to think it was just studying scripture until Pete said, no, sometimes we do books. Then I realized, okay, so sometimes they do books about the Bible, not just the Bible. But it's about understanding the scriptures that we have access to. And so getting together with believers, asking questions, digging deeper into the scriptures and what they mean. So that's Pete's Bible study every other Wednesday. What else do we have? Men's breakfast. So Mr. Wayne's not here right now, unless he snuck in while I've been up here. He's in Texas. Oh, man, he's enjoying the warm life down there. Okay, so Wayne's been kind of facilitating, like, the men's ministry, kind of officially, unofficially. He was doing it in tandem with Jonathan for a bit, but he's the one that kind of schedules the men's breakfast. It usually happens, I think, the second Saturday of the month. And so if you're part of the men's group, you'll probably get random texts. Hey, men's breakfast is tomorrow, 8 a.m., this place. It's normally the Golden Corral up in Gurnee. But since this whole COVID thing, it's been like shut down, opened up, and shut down, and opened up. And last month, he got really creative and said, okay, we're just going to go to the one up in Kenosha because they're still open. So they go to the Golden Corral in Kenosha. So creative alternatives. And in addition to that, I mean, Wayne does his part to stay connected with people in the community. Sometimes he'll call up an individual guy and be like, hey, let's go get coffee, you know, and he takes visits to Jonathan. He visited me not too long ago. So it's really cool that he has a heart to stay connected with the men's ministries. And so we wanted to kind of put that out. I was like, hey, like, Wayne's been doing some stuff with the ministry, and this is all part of what the Lord's been doing in 2020, and he's using the church to be the church and to maintain this fellowship in the presence, love, and power of God. So that's the men's breakfast, usually at restaurants when it's allowed. Some behind-the-scenes tech stuff. So this is mostly Jerry and myself. The reason that you have access to the services and the sermons that you do, whether you're in person or not, is by and large part due to either Jerry's doing or my doing. If you're looking at all the Zoom setup and the TV set up in the other room over there, and then when we had the outside service speaker going so you could social distance outside, hearing everything through these sound systems, that's Jerry. Jerry set all of that up. So, like, let's give Jerry a hand of, you know, thank you, Jerry. So he's made that possible. The fact that if you're on Zoom right now and you're listening, Jerry set that up, Zoom people. He set it up so that you can actually do a share time or share a prayer request or do an update on your computer, and it's going to come through these speakers, and we're going to hear it. Like, that's Jerry's doing. So behind the scenes, you don't really see what's going on, but there's a little network that has to go on for that to happen. One of the things I do in terms of the unseen tech stuff is if you're listening to the sermons on the podcast, I'm managing all that podcast stuff. So when you go to tgpchicago.org and you scroll down to that second menu list and you click podcast and all those podcasts are there, I did that. I set all, 2018, I think I set all that up. Wasn't even thinking, you know, we're going to have a plague in 2020 that's going to shut everything down, everything's going to be digital. I just like, hey, we need to be able to access this because not everybody's going to be able to come to church at the same time all the time. So I learned how to set that up, and I set it up. And so now you can do that. And for a while, we had that linked into Facebook, and that's a whole other story. But now you can podcast the Gathering Place sermons typically within an hour of the sermon being preached on the podcast. So if you couldn't come to Zoom, if you had something going on, you can come back after lunch and listen to the sermon. So that's some of the behind-the-scenes tech stuff. Podcast accessibility. Now, some of the non-tech stuff, Sermon topic scheduling. I'm pretty much the administrator for any of the flow or communication regarding sermons, sermon topics, even scheduling events. Like I don't come up with the events, but all of that gets funneled to me to package up and send out either in email blasts or text blasts. If you get a text message saying severe weather, TGP is closed on Sunday, that's me. We set up a whole system that I can send out one message to the whole church in mass to let everybody know for immediate things. And that's why we wanted the updates for your phone numbers, because we send that out to let people know that, hey, church is going to be canceled. We also have the email blast when there's announcements like a baby shower coming up or the Thanksgiving. We send out those big email blasts, and we set a whole system up where I just put that in there, and it just shoots out to everybody. And if it's a big one that needs reminders, so say it's going to be like 3 months out and I want to do like 6 or 7 reminders, we have a system set up where we can schedule all that out. So I can say, okay, initial contact is going to be sent out on this Sunday. In 2 weeks, it's going to send out on a Monday at 8:30. In 2 weeks, it's going to send out on a Thursday at 5:30 p.m. to try to get like everybody's like habits incorporated into like, okay, I typically check my email at 5:30 p.m. or I typically check mine at 6 in the morning. One of those is going to get to you. So that's all behind the scenes stuff that we're doing. Like Jerry's kind of helped out with a lot of the tech networking connection stuff, and I've done a lot of this off-site like communications to make sure everybody's on the same page as much as possible. I send out all of the schedules to the speakers because we have a speaker rotation. We put together the schedule for a 3-month run, so people have time to study, prepare, and pray for every message, right? So they're not just, I don't just come up to people on Saturday and be like, hey, you're going to preach tomorrow, and then they have to scramble to put something together. Like, I want them to be able to soak in prayer, soak in the presence of the Lord. And so they're going to know 1 to 3 months in advance so they can get their heart prepared. They can get their study done. They can look at the scriptures and pull it apart and process it and get what the Holy Spirit's saying, and they have the space to do that. So you don't see that. That's all behind-the-scenes stuff. So in addition to my teaching and preaching and all that, these are behind-the-scenes things that I'm doing as well. And so all of that is going. Then we have worship, the Sanchezes, right? Michael and Casey, they've been doing this for a very, very long time. So is Twyla. She's been a part of this for a very, very long time. And then the Love Days came on the scene. I don't know if this is here or 2019, but not too long ago, they came on the scene, so we were able to start doing a rotation of worship leaders and giving each other a break, so not everybody's trying to do everything the whole time. And then we incorporated the Hovdies recently. So welcome aboard, Hovdies. Thanks for being part of the worship team. So this is what we have going on in terms of the gathering place. So these are things that's really affected 2020 and has allowed the ministry to go forward. Do we have anything else, Twyla? I don't know if there's...
I have a picture, but for some reason the pictures aren't showing up, so I don't know.
Picture of all the leaders?
It's just that, yeah. And then that's the last one.
Oh, man. Okay, sorry. So the pictures of the leaders aren't showing up. That was the very last thing. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Wayne and Betsy are maintaining it a bit, and they call, talk to me. You can say it the way you want to say it, because people can't hear me.
Okay. So, I didn't get the memo on this one. Wayne and Betsy have spearheaded building maintenance as well. So typically when they're around, like they're the ones that are vacuuming the floors or taking out the garbage. They're coming in the midweek to do sanitation and cleaning. Like Wayne was actually a huge part of getting all of these walls painted so that this looks like a little bit more neutral, less worn down, less scratchy looking walls, and that the women's bathroom is no longer Pepto-Bismol pink and the men's bathroom is no longer baby blue. You know, and the awnings that corresponded, all of that's gone. All of these huge paint improvements, the visual improvements in this church is mostly due to Wayne and Betsy and the teams they've put together, and then our resident handyman, Dion, which is Jonathan's brother-in-law. So, yeah, Wayne and Betsy have had a huge part in just the physical nuts and bolts of keeping the building up and going. So with that, I'm going to take a quick pause, and just as you reflect on everything that I've just gone forth, let's just give everybody involved a round of applause. And then the last thing I would like to do, for any of the leaders that are here and that are comfortable, I'd like you to come up, and I would like to have maybe three people pray over the leaders, because these are the people who have guided this church through the 2020 pandemic. We've met together in our leadership meetings to try to talk about what the policies are going to be, what are the mask procedures, what are the cleaning procedures. We have had long conversations and had diverse opinions and thoughts on how to go about this, till finally at the end we came together with a policy that can meet as many people where they are in this. So is the COVID-19 the next Black Plague? Some people think so. Some people don't think so. We want people to feel loved and honored and having their opinions respected in light of the gospel. That's been the driving heart. Right? So we came up with this policy that in the sanctuary, it's supposed to be mask mandate. In the fellowship hall, mask optional. We've tried to create different environments where people can feel valued, respected, and listened to in terms of their approach to this whole COVID pandemic. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. And we're a small enough church that we can kind of allow for that, and we have some space for that. So my heart is that if all the leaders want to come up, and I'll go ahead and put my mask on too, since we'll be a little bit closer. And if I can just get three people that are not in leadership to just briefly pray over the leadership, whether it's a prayer of honor, whether it's a prayer of vision for the future, or just words, whatever it is, just have three people come up and pray. And we're going to use the microphone so people in Zoom and in the other room can hear. So there we go. All right, so I see one person standing here. I'm assuming Catherine's part of this list. Is one of the? You're on the list? Okay. So Allie and Catherine, looks like we're doing like the red flannel thing here. Okay, who else has got the red flannel? Okay, so we've got two. I need one more person. June. Okay, so June. Okay, so Allie, we're going to let you go first. And just pray over the leaders in general, whatever comes to mind for a couple minutes.
God help the leaders not crash under everything. And can you end the COVID thingy? Because I don't like masks.
Amen. Thank you, Allie. Yeah. Thank you.
Big amen for that.
Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for this group of leaders, Lord, that you continue on their life so strongly. Jonathan, where he is, that you would just strengthen him and heal him. And I thank you, Lord, for the work you'll do in him shortly, and you continue to do. But I just pray for these leaders, Lord, these leaders in front of me, Lord, that you are their vision. Lord, their vision. You are in their sight and you are in their their ever being, their who they are, Lord. And I thank you for that leadership, that from that we see them walking out and we've seen them lead with. And we've seen them be that example of Christ in them, that reflects this church, to love and to be present in your Holy Spirit and to be led by your power, Lord, for your visions for this church. And I pray for more of that. I pray for an establishment of your presence in their lives and their love from you in them to come forth through into the people, Lord. Mm-hmm. And let that be their purpose, and all things will be established then in you. All things will come forth in your will for them. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. And I just thank you for their hearts that long to know you even more. And I just pray that you would meet each and every one of them in dreams and visions and purpose for them in their lives and this church to be blessed in it. So thank you, Lord, for this group of people that you've established and designed to lead and guide your people. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Catherine. June? Hold on, June's going to pray first.
So, Lord, I just thank you for these men and women of God that you've placed in this church over us. Lord, and I have a very short thing that you put on my mind, and that each one, you would increase the intimacy between you and them in each one, Lord, and that you would pour your love in and through them for each of us. Lord, give them wisdom, discernment, and understanding in all that they do. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Thank you, everybody, for your prayers.
Thank you.
So for people on Zoom, Hannah said that she doesn't like masks because she can't see people's smiles.
That's right.
All right. So do any leaders have anything that they want to say before we wrap up? You guys are open mic. Okay. Just want to give you guys the invite. Okay. So we're going to wrap up our service today. It was nice, short and sweet, but it's really good to see what is going on, right? What the Lord has continued to do at the gathering place. Byron told me to take my mask off. What the Lord has continued to do at the gathering place in 2020 in the face of a pandemic, in the face of a shutdown, in the face of a lot of issues, the economy breaking down, and we've seen the Lord's faithfulness at the gathering place. And so I'm going to wrap us up. You know, this is the last message of 2020. And we're going to end this message with a prayer of thanksgiving to God's faithfulness to his people and us looking to the Lord for a profound 2021 where his Spirit will reign freely in this church. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
All right. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a powerful God. Thank you that you are not just a regional God like the ancient gods were. You are the God of creation. You're the God of the universe, of all the planets, all the stars, earth, and you are the God of every human being that walks on this planet, whether they know it or not. Thank you that if you had decided that humanity was just as worthless and nothing but the ant of mindless ants walking on the earth, that you could just dismay with us and be done. But you have saw in your heart the value that you put in each human being, that you love us so much that you sent your Son to die for us when we went astray so that we could be made right with you. Thank you, Father, for that good news. That good news that we call the gospel. That through your Son, we have peace with the living God, and that we have inestimable value in your sight. Thank you for that. Thank you for your goodness, so that even in the face of sickness and a pandemic and a global shutdown, you are still God. You are not daunted. You are not dismayed. You are not set back by any of this. You reign on high, and that you are faithful to your church. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us in 2020, when it just felt like everything was coming apart at the seams, and you stepped in and said, I am God, and I will preserve you. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I thank you for your hand and your blessing and your anointing on the gathering place and everybody, whether in person or on Zoom, who calls the gathering place their home, that you are faithful to them, that you have led them through these difficult times in 2020, and that you, Father, have powerful, amazing, profound plans for people who call the gathering place home for 2021. Let your ear be attentive to our heart, to our cries, to our prayers, as we declare you the living God who saved us and preserves us because you love us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And Lord, as we turn this one last worship song to you for 2020, let our hearts be enamored with who you are. In Jesus' name.
Hello again, this is Pastor Todd. I pray the Lord uses my message today to strengthen your walk with God. If you are blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. The portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to The Gathering Place podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.